Today's daf is daf Tzavi, and we are holding at the Ibait Ema, which is the last word, four lines up from the bottom, on Pei Tet Amud Beit. So yesterday the Gemara suggested that perhaps the explanation of the difference between the two brayot, one of which says that in a case where we have Avdei Meluk, that is to say a woman brought into her marriage Avadim, and Avadim Knani, in which case they become Nichsei Melug, where the husband is able to utilize the work of the Eved, and the woman owns the Eved, so that in the event of divorce, the Eved goes back to her. But he, meanwhile, uses it as a Kinyan Peirot. So we assumed that the two Braitot were arguing about Takanat Usha, because one Braita says that as far as the din of Shein V'ayin is concerned, neither the male or the female, the Ish or the Isha, can actually end up having the Knas of the Shichura Eved B'Shein V'ayin, because neither of them own him. Mar Shein Kein, the other Braita said, that the woman owns him. So if we assume that everybody holds that Kinyan Perot are not Kinyan Guf, obviously an assumption we're going to attack later, but if we assume that, then the difference between the two Braitot would be the difference of Takanat Usha. According to Takanat Usha, a woman essentially ends up being in a position of being unable to sell, because even if she sells in the event of her death, it's going to go to the Baal, and there's no way for her to be mafkia, the shibud of the Baal, from her, so that the Rabbonah now gave a strengthening to the Baal through Takanat Usha. So the Baal doesn't own the Eved yet. He only has a Kinyan Peirot, so he can't free the Eved through Shein V'ayin. There's no Knas on him. But she also, because she cannot utilize her Baalut to sell, also doesn't own the Eved. And that would explain the Braita that says, Lo le'ish v'lo le'isha. There's no din of Shein V'ayin at all, which is surprising that we should find Takanat Usha being a machloket. So yesterday we said that it's very simple. We could say that one Braita was written before Takanat Usha, according to which the woman is the full owner because she owns the goof of the Eved, and the Kinyan Peirot of the Baal is Lafka Kinyan Aguf to make it his. And the second Braita was written after Takanat Usha, which essentially removes that Baalut from her. And that's where we were up to. Today, we give another possibility. V'ibaitema, you could also, if you wish, you could say, that idividilachar takana, both were written after Takanat Usha. And indeed, both brightot hold of Takanat Usha. V'idu Takanat Usha. Elolamand yomar li'isha v'lo li'ish ma'itayma. What would be the reasoning, then, of saying that the woman, if she knocks out a tooth, would free the Eved if she's not really a Baalim? The reason is Kidrova. The Omar Rava Hegdesh, Chametz Vishichrur, Mafki'in Midei Shibud. In a standard case where there is a Shibud for a loan, for repayment. So let's say there's a Shibud for a loan on an Eved. And now the borrower frees the Eved. The Shichrur is more powerful than the Shibud. This is dependent really on the Machloket of whether Balchov Mikanu La'abahu Gove or Balchov L'mafreyahu Gove, which is a sugya elsewhere. We had an Ipsoch most recently. So according to Rava, since the Baal Chov only can activate his Shibud from this point forward, the Shibud gives him no real rights of Baalut, therefore Shichrur, which takes place now, is more powerful than a Shibud, which is meant ultimately to be used. The same thing is true. In this case, the Shichrur will be Mafkia, the Shibud, because the most that we did with Takanat Usha was we gave a Shibud to the Baal, which is more powerful than that of the later Lakuchot, in the case where she sold it. Fine, in this case, the equivalent of the Shein V'ayin is the full equivalent of Shichrur, and therefore is Mafkia, that Shibud. And therefore it's not a contradiction to the Did of Takanat Usha. Why is there a Machloket between the Braita? That we're going to discuss in a moment. But let's take a look more closely at Rava's Ma'amar. So Rava speaks of three things. Actually, these three things stand for a godly number of other things, because Hegdish would be anything really that creates a Hegdish-type relationship. So it would include, for instance, making something Tachrichin for a mate, where you're Magdish it for the usage of the mate. So then it becomes, would become Osir. And other things as well to create Yisrei Anah, Avodah Zorah, and stuff like that. So that would also be Mafkia B'dei Shibud, all included under Hegdesh. Chometz would be a case where, let's say, you took a loan from a goy, and you used your chometz as the guarantee for the loan. So he now has a shibud on your chometz, but you didn't put it in his rishus. So if there was no here, he know it, so you didn't put it in the rishus of the goy, then the iser of the chometz is chal on you, and that iser now was mafkia, the shibud of the goy, and you have to go ahead and be mevaya the chometz, as I considered stealing it from the goy. In the case of the hegdish, somebody's magdish something which is mishubad, he can actually bring it as a korban, and it's not considered to be stealing, which normally would say you can't bring somebody else's thing, obviously. The question over here, the major question among the Rishonim, is whether this is true only of Kedushat Haguf, or whether it's true even in terms of Kedushat Damim. Rashi holds it's only Kedushat Haguf, not Kedushat Damim. The Rambam holds it's both Kedushat Haguf, Kedushat Damim. There's also a Shita of the Balei HaTosfos, Rabbeinu Tam, that if it's real estate, and only real estate, then it works for even the din of Kedushat Damim. But if it's Metaltalim, then we don't say it's Miyamfki Midei Shibut. Okay, but again, this is not our primary sugi over here. So as far as we're concerned, we needed to answer how, if you hold of Takanat Usha, it would be possible to have a freeing of Shein V'ayin of an Eved. The answer is Rava's principle that Shichur is Mafkia, the Sheibud, which was created by the Takanat Usha. So does that mean, says the Gemara, that these two Braitot argue in the Takana of Rava? Because one Braita says, neither the Ish nor the Isha will cause the Eved to go free B'Shein V'ayin. So Lema the Rava Tanoihi. Actually, the Kulei Amma Itlu the Rava. Really, everybody holds Rava's principle in general, that Shichur would be Mafkia Midei Shibud, and therefore should be Mafkia Midei Takanat Usha. The reason there's a Braita that doesn't agree with that is not because they disagree with the Rava's principle. It's because Takanat Usha is more than a typical Shibud. V'ocha Almu Rabbanan the Shibud of the Baal. The Rabbanan here strengthened the Shibud of the Baal, according to Rashi elsewhere, to give him the din of a Lakuah. It says, if he actually owns it, rather than simply as a shibud on, in which case it's chal now, therefore Rava's principle wouldn't apply. Now that's the second approach. So again, approach number one is the machlokas between the Braitot is not a machloket at all. It's a reflection of the different times which the Braitot were said. One was before Takanat Usha, one was after Takanat Usha. Second approach is that the Braitot both agreed to Takanat Usha. The question is whether Almua Rabbanu Lishibudei Debal through Takanat Usha, and therefore it would even be strong enough to prevent the Yetziya B'Shein V'Ayin, which normally would be Mafkia Shibud, or not. The third approach is, V'Bai Deima, the Kuleyaman Letlu Lani Tanai Takanat Usha, that neither of these Braitot, now we don't have to say that they literally don't hold of Takanat Usha. It means Takanat Usha is irrelevant. That may be irrelevant because, as the Shita suggests, because both Braitot were written before Takanat Usha. Doesn't mean that they disagree with Takanat Usha necessarily. So neither of these Braitot are dealing with Takanat Usha. And the machloket between the Braitot is indeed a machloket, but it's a simple machloket, which is kinyan perot ki kinyan aguv damikem yiflegei. So v'alcha b'kinyan perot ki kinyan aguv damikem yiflegei, the Braita that holds the kinyan perot ki kinyan aguv would say that since the Baal now has the kinyan of the perot, it's impossible for the woman to create a shichur of the Eved u'Shein V'Ayin. Whereas the Bad Yomar who holds that kinyan perot lav ki kinyan aguv, there is no contradiction in the semi-ownership of the Baal, of the perot, to the actual ownership of the woman, of the guf Eved. And therefore, if she causes the loss of Shein V'Ayin, the Eved will indeed be Yotze. And that's the machlokas. That's nothing new. I mean, that's a famous machlokas. B'plukta dani tanoi. Tetanya ha-mocher avdo. Le'acher, somebody sells his Eved, but he makes a condition that for the first 30 days following the sale, the Eved will continue to work for him to finish a job that he had started. So he's pasak imo amanachi shamshenu shloshim yom, which essentially boils down to an Eved Maluk. Because what happens over here is that the original owner continues to own the perot of the Eved, the work of the Eved, whereas the body of the Eved was immediately bought by somebody else. Classic nichse malug relationship, right? So the din over there is Rabbi Meir Omer Rishon Yeshno B'din Yomo Yomayin B'pneishu Tachtav. Now the equivalent case that we have over here to our case is talking about Shein V'Ayin. That's one of the consequences of owning an Eved, that if you knock out the Shein V'Ayin, you're Meshachrer the Eved. And that's a unique din in the owner, obviously. Somebody else who knocks out the Shein V'Ayin of the Eved pays the damages. But the owner who knocks out a Shein V'Ayin creates a shichru. There's another din which is unique to the owner, which is the din of yomo yomai. So normally, causing the death of a slave, if some stranger goes and shoots a slave or hits him, and because he hits him 3 years later, the slave ends up dying. He never recovered, he gets worse and worse, and he ends up dying from an infection that this guy hit him. So the guy's chayav misa, if it's the type of thing that we're oimed lechatchilo could cause death. So you're chayav misa for causing the death of an eved. The thing is that an owner who hits an eved is also chayav misa if he kills the eved, except for one caveat, that if the eved is able to walk around properly for the next day, that's the yomo yomai of 24 hours, so then if he subsequently dies because of the unique relationship to the odin is not chayev mita. So assuming now that the din of shichru, which is dependent on ownership, and the din of yomo yomai, which is dependent on ownership, are the same. So we find now a machloket between Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, the first guy who is now the one for whom the eved is working, he's the equivalent of the husband in the husband-wife relationship, right? So he's the one who has the kinyan perot of the eved. That guy is yeshno b'din yomo yomai, mipneshu tachtav. That one, if he shoots the eved, he'll be potter if the eved survives for yomo yomai properly. So he must hold kinyan perot ki kinyan aguv tabi, and therefore it's the full equivalent of his being the owner. Now obviously this is inconsistent with what we said before. We said before that as far as shichur is concerned, if the Baal is the one who has the kinyan perot, for sure the Baal is not going to be able. It's only the question whether kinyan perot removes the kinyan aguf of the Yisha. Nobody said that the Baal is the one who's going to be able to be Meshach with the Eved Vashem V'ayin. So when the Gemara makes this comparison to Rabbi Meir, it's a pretty iffy comparison, because Rabbi Meir is saying, Kinyan Perot Kinyan Aguf is the reason that the Din of Yom Yomayim will be towards the owner who is the Kinyan Perot, which is not what we said over here. So what we'll have to say, as Tosfos explained, is the Gemara is taking for granted, well, obviously you can't free an Eved that you don't own. So as far as the din of Shein V'ayin is concerned, there's no Havamina in the world that the Baal would be the one that could free the Eved. That's ridiculous. The question over here, by the din of Yomo Yomayim, there it's not a dependency in something that has to do with the goof of the Eved necessarily. There it has to do with the one who has the rights to force the Eved to be Eved. As long as it's his Eved, then he should be included in the din of yomo yomayim. So it's not a strictly 100% accurate comparison, but the idea of kinyan perot ki kinyan aguf is certainly the machlokas that we have over here, and therefore the Gemara is saying that the simple explanation, the difference between the two brayot, is that one is going according to Rabbi Meir, who holds kasava kinyan perot ki kinyan aguf dami, and therefore by extension in our case neither of them would be able to be meshachrer. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, was Rabbi Yehuda says, no, on the contrary. It's the woman, in this case, the second guy who owns the goof, which is the equivalent of the woman in the man-woman relationship, the sheni yeshlo b'din yomo yomayim, mipnei shehu kaspo, kasav kinyan perot, lav kinyan aguf. I mean, that's the simple explanation of the difference between the two brayot. Rabbi Yosi Omer, Shnehem Yeshnan B'din Yomo Yomayim. Both of them actually will be potter if the Eved survives 24 hours after his attack. Why? Zemi Neshu Tachtav, Zemi Neshu Kaspo, but that's only because I don't know. Misafkale, in other words, Rabbi Yosi did not know whether Kinyan Perot, Iki Kinyan Aguf Dami, Ilavki Kinyan Aguf Dami, and therefore we have a suffix Nifashot, shall we let this guy off the hook? We're not going to be Mechayev, the owner, if he might be the owner, after the Eved survives for 24 hours, if maybe the Torah pottered him. It's inside, I don't know. Rabbi Elazar should say, Omer, Shnehem be'enan b'din yom yomayim. On the contrary, neither of them gets this special off-the-hook kula of yom yomayim. Zelefi sheino tachtav, vezelefi sheino kaspo. So the one who actually bought it, he doesn't have a din of yomo yomayim because the Eved is not working for him. And the one for whom the Eved is working does not have the din of yomo yomayim because he doesn't own that Eved. And that is a necessary requisite for the din of yomo yomayim. Amar Rava, how do we know? Where do we get that from? My time at the Rabbi Elazar, or my cross, because of a diak in the posik. The posik says that im yomo yomayim yamod lo yukam ki kaspo. What is that? Ki kaspo. I mean, obviously, we're talking about his Eved. So, ki kaspo is coming to tell me. It has to be kaspo ha-miyuchadlo. That's the completely meant for his use and his ownership. And therefore, this case, there's something missing from both of them. Neither of them would have a din of yom yomayim. Whatever the technicalities are in terms of ownership, it's certainly not sufficient to fill the requirement of kaspo, where the Torah repeats the need for complete kaspo. Let's wait. We're going to get to a case of actual shutafut, and then we'll discuss the difference. We could discuss it here. the difference is clear. No, it's probably good. The difference is clear. This is not a concept of shutafut, because over here, where you have a shutaf, both of them are full owners. They're just full owners of the part that they own. Over here, neither is a full owner of either part, right? Because the ownership consists of having kinyanim, a thing that give you usage of it. That you don't have. In the case of shutafut, you both of them have ownership, which gives them usage. So we're going to embark now on a discussion of shutafim without considering that that might be a chisaron. We'll see in a moment.
Otherwise, kinyan would be like a shutafut.
Correct, yeah. But since it doesn't give you anything in the actual kesef. Kaman ozla, hadi amar ha-meimar, ish v'isha. This is amazing. That if the man and the woman both sell nichsei malug, and here is where we see clearly the difference between shutafut. If you have two shutafim, and they both get together and they sell something, obviously it's a perfectly valid sale. Right? A corporation can sell too. But a man and a woman cannot, married man and woman cannot sell nichsei malug, because neither of them is an owner to sell. And even if you put the two together, you have two non-owners that have agreed to sell. And therefore there's no sale. So an ish v'isha shemachru b'nichsei malug, lo asu v'lo klum. Now clearly, who's that going like? That's going like Rabbi Elazar. Just like Rabbi Elazar sees, in terms of kaspo, that there needs to be an ownership that includes both. And that's the definition, he's saying, of complete kaspo. That it means an ownership that includes both usage and the technicalities of the momon, of the value of the thing. And because of that, we're going to have to say that this too would be the case, according to Amemar.
Yeah. There's no, if it's the two of them selling together, there's right. No third party. It's got to be a combination of the two.
But what has happened is the arrangement between them has made neither an actual owner for Mechira.
But if they both get together, don't the...
No, one would have to buy out the other one to have the usage of that. But both getting together, how does that help? I'm selling my piece and you're selling your piece. Uh-huh. But if neither of us can sell our piece, how can we get together to sell my piece and your piece? Uh-huh. Right? There's no way for us to connect an entity. But they're not partners. That's the point. They each own completely different elements. That's a fascinating halacha, which only works out only with Rabbi Elazar, who's able to make that chilek. Man tana la hadu tana rabbonan. Mi shechetzio eved vechetzio ben chori. Now here we have an equivalent case of Shnei Shutafim, which is what Rabbi Yaakov mentioned, and which is why I wanted to wait, but now you'll see why I decided not to wait, because it's far more dramatic. Here it says, if you have an Eved of two Shutafim, Ein Yotzim Beroshei Evarim She'inan Chozri. They will not be able to be Yotze. Why is that? Omar, who's that going like? Omar, Rav Mordechai, Rav Ashi, Achi Amri B'Shvei Derava, it's going on Liba Rav Elazar. Because in the same way that Rav Elazar suggests that when it comes to the extra pasuk of kaspo, by yoma yomai, mi lo amar Rav Elazar kaspo hamiyuchadlo, hochanami avdo hamiyuchadlo. So it means according to this, even the only time that we would say a nafkamina between shutafut and the dinner of Rabbi Elazar is lagabi mechira. But when it comes to this din, when it comes to this halacha, of Shein Va'ayin, which is Shichrur, over there we understand the extra word Avdo, Shein Avdo, or Ein Avdo, to be something that means Miyuchad Lo in terms of complete ownership, and not in terms of Shutafut. So here indeed, it makes Shutafut the equivalent. So there's only this one issue in which Shutafut is to be distinguished from Rav Elazar's case.
Is a Baal allowed to sell his rights to
Hatokea lechavero, noten lo sela. Now here we're talking, as opposed to issues that we discussed elsewhere, of tokea, where we were talking about nezek, here we're talking about boshet. And therefore tokea may mean something else, because when it came to damages, where it was vechirsho, over there we say that the reaction is a internal reaction that is not an essential part of what he did if he startled him. People can indeed go deaf, but only because they have a neurological reaction, not something that I caused directly. For that, I'm not chayev. But when it comes to busha, the startle reaction, which could be very embarrassing, they always have this in slapstick, mm-hmm. Surprise the guy and everything goes flying up and he goes flying across the floor and so on. Those kind of reactions can be very embarrassing. So we were koveh, so here tokeh could mean actually to blow something, make a loud noise. However, there are other perushim that take it from the other case, where tokeh means to hit someone against the ear. Or the Rambam's case, tokeh doesn't mean tokeh the ozen, literally, but hits him in the back of the neck, because he compares this to the various things of giving a guy a kick in the pants and so on. So these were part of that. You hit him in the back of his head, or you kick him in the rear, and so on.
Slap in the face.
Slap in the face, we'll get to. So tokeh chaviro noten lo sela. You pay one sela. Rabbi Yudom and Bishur of Yossi Aglili. What do you mean one sela? You pay a mana. Woo, that's 100 now. We're not sure we're going to see in the Gemara what that means. 100 what? 100 mana tsuri. We're talking about 100 mana medina. Could be 25 times. What if it could be 200 times as much if it's mana tsuri. Wow, okay. So because a sela would then be one half. Right, half is if it would be a mona medina. Satro, slap him across the face. Noten lo matayim zuz liachri yado. You give him one of those open glove slaps. That was you put your hand backwards and with the back of your hand, which is even a more disdainful and therefore embarrassing act. So then you pay him matayim zuz, arbamiot zuz. So Rambam's, no, you pull his ear, or you actually pull a piece of skin out of his ears. Machlokes. Tolash bisaro, pulled out some hair. Rakak, you spit at the guy. V'yigia boroko, and the spit actually touches him. Hevir talitobi menu, you lift up his skirt. The old Scottish, what is it, Irish way. There's nothing under there. Para rosh ha'isha b'shukur, you uncover a woman's hair in public. Notin lo arba me'odzuz. 400. Ze'aklal. Akolafikvodo. Now that's not clear. Does that mean these are minimums, these are maximums? Gemara's going to discuss that. Rabbi Akiva argues. Rabbi Akiva says it's not true that Akolafikvodo. Because what we do is we select a norm. And Rabbi Akiva says, Afilu aniyim should be Israel. They may be in bad shape now. But ro'imotam kilohim b'nei chorim shiyordu minichseyem. It's true that they're not at the very top of the heap. But when someone comes from a very rich and respectable background, and now has lost his money. So there, it's true, we wouldn't give them the same as it's currently being among the rich, but still, there would be a level of respect and concern for embarrassment that is more than just the slob that he appears to be. And therefore, every Ben Yisrael is B'nai Avram, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov. The fact that they're in bad shape now, we view them as having fallen on hard times. There was once a ma'aseh indeed where somebody had uncovered a woman's hair in public, and she sued him, lifnei Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva was mechayev him liten lo arba me'od zuz. He had to pay her 400 zuz. Omar lo, so the guy says to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi, ten li zman, give me some time, I want to show you why I ought to be potter. V'natan lo zman, shamra, so he stood waiting for her until she got out of the door of her chatzah. And there he had Aiden. So Shamra omedet al petach hatzira, and he saunters by and breaks, shavarat akad, he breaks a little bottle of oil in front of her, of olive oil. It had like 10 cents worth of oil in it. Aboki iser shemen. She pulls off her hair covering, and she's trying to get the oil from the ground and patting her hair with it, because, she's not going to let that oil go to waste. So she was, aita metapachat umanachat yadal rosha. So Vehemida le'aydim, and he has these aidim waiting for her. He comes to Rabbi Akiva and says, look, lezoa ninoten arba me'atzuz, the woman was ready to take off her own hair covering for 10 cents. Why am I paying her 400 bucks?
Only the price for arguing.
Amar lai. So Rabbi Akiva said to him, lo amar taklu. Your argument.
Entrapment.
Your argument is a useless argument. Because by extension of your argument, I could say, what would you say about a case where hachovel ba'atzmo? The guy is a masochist. He cuts off his hand. So therefore you say, this guy is a masochist. I did him a favor in cutting off his hand. Why should I pay if he's willing to hurt himself? That's not a taina. So even though he doesn't have a right to do that, But Achova Ba'atzma, you're right, this woman had no right to do what she did to herself. But the fact is, if you're Achova Ba'atzma, Fabishena Rashai, he himself would be potter, nonetheless, Acherim Shechavlu Bo Chayavim. Now, according to me, who says that there are standards of Busha as per what the person truly is, this is no different than Chavalah. You can't say that because a person reduces their own selves, therefore you have a right to reduce them. And the same thing would be true. Let's say, Akotseitz Nitiyotav, do you have a right to cut down your trees? No, you're over on Bal Tashrit. Nonetheless, you do it, you're potter. But Avapi Jeno Rashai, he's patur. Whereas if somebody else comes along, okay, River Chayavim, what kind of argument is that? That this woman does the same thing to herself? All right, so we'll get to this. Now let's go back to the amounts that were under discussion. We know that before when we talked about a Selah, we were talking about a Selah Medina, which is half of this. The question is, when you talk about a mana, it might be the mana at Suri, which is the way we usually refer to a mana, which is worth eight times as much. In other words, the mana Medina was seven parts dross to one part silver. So they mix it with copper, with zinc, but the mana at Suri was pure silver. So, are we talking about a mana tzuri, or are we talking about a mana medina tonight? Tashma, the ahu gavra, the takale lechavre, there was a guy who actually did this mice of tekiya, and he was sued, ata lechavre, the Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. So he came to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, and Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya said, look guy, ha'ana, there's me here, there's Rabbi Yossi Aglili here, you pay up a mana tzuri. Wow. So shma mina mana tzuri tonight. So apparently we're really talking about mana tzuri, which is eight times as much. So that would be 200 times the value of the selah of the Tanakhama. It's an amazing machlok, one extreme to another. So it means a monatsur, shmamina. Now, what did he mean? I'm here, Rabbi Yosef. What's that supposed to mean? My ha'ana, Rabbi Yosef Lili, who cares? Ilam ha'akikamar le, is he saying, ha'ana de chaziticha? Well, I saw you. And here's Rabbi Yossi Aglili, whose shita is manatsuri, and therefore zil havle manatsuri. Well, what is that supposed to mean? That a witness can become now the dayan? So Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya says, well, I saw it myself, and therefore I'm paskening the case right here and now, and I don't require any further witnesses? Is that what he meant to say? I mean, that would be saying that an aide can become a dayan in the case. V'atanya Sanhedrin shira'u echad she'aragat ha'nefesh. If Sanhedrin sees a murderer who murders, miktzatam na'asu edim, u'miktzatam na'asu dayanim divrei Rabbi Tarfa. Says Rabbi Tarfa, well, some of them will have to act as witnesses to the rest. And then the rest can paskin on the basis of those witnesses. But those witnesses themselves cannot be a judge in the case. Rabbi Akiva takes it even further.
So the judges alone are 23?
The judges, we can add. Yeah, or more, whether it was a larger, whatever the case is. But the point is that according to Rabbi Tarfon, we are not allowing the aide to be the dayan of the case that he was the aide in. Meaning the aide, the one who testified, but we are allowing people who witnessed the event to be a judge in the case. We don't say that the witnessing is going to make it impossible for them to be true judges because they've already decided in their mind what happened. But Rabbi Akiva goes even further. Rabbi Akiva says, the very fact of witnessing, not the fact that you need to testify, the very fact of witnessing means that you cannot be a dayan. So Rabbi Akiva Omer Kulam Edimeim, Ve'ein Eid Na'aseh Dayan. Now even Rabbi Tarfon, Adkan Lo Kamer Rabbi Tarfon. I mean, all that Rabbi Tarfon said is that the fact of having witnessed it does not passel you from being a judge, right? So he said, Miktzatam Na'asu Edimeim, Miktzatam Na'asu Dayanim, but he never, even Rabbi Tarfon never said that the aide who's going to be the one who testifies should be the one that's the dying. I mean, that lo kamar. And here Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya is saying, well, I saw it, and therefore I'm going to be the dying. Does that make sense? Yeah, of course, you misunderstand. Kitanya Kotcharo Balayla. The Lomavid Bedinanino. Point over here is that the Beidin that Rabbi Tarfon was referring to saw the event at night. Since they saw the event at night, they can't pass Kana Alocha because you're only allowed to do mishpat biyom. Ayika says, we learn that for biyom in chilo et banav. In which case, they now will need to reconstitute the court in the day, and if they would now be saying something, it would not be apiyariya anymore, unless we have eidim. Now they would be doing it only on the basis of what they know, not on the basis of what they saw. They've now interpreted what they've seen. But you can't paskin a din on what you know. You can only paskin on what you see. Therefore, we need witnesses. So, in that case, some of them have to become witnesses, and the others are dayanim. But in this case, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya says, I saw that, and he paskins it on the spot. So there's no need for a separate dayanut and a separate edut. And in that case, Rabbi Tafron would say there's no problem of eit naase dayan. V'ibayit ema. Or, you know what, maybe he didn't even mean that. Maybe he meant to say, there is both myself and Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, who hold the same thing, meaning Ahana, the sphere like Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, the Omar Monetsuri. And, of course, there's witnesses and so on. I mean, I didn't see it. But he was not trying to say, I saw that. And it has nothing to do with the din of eid naase dayan. Says the Gemara, you're saying that according to Rabbi Akiva, ein eid naase dayan, and that in the case where the Sanhedrin saw the murder, we're going to have to bring a different Sanhedrin, you said, because nobody who witnessed the thing can be a judge in that case. What about the following braita, where Rabbi Akiva has an opinion that seems to run counter to that? Vatanya. Vika ishet re'eu be'even o be'egrov. Comes along Shimon Atimni, or Atimani, depending on the Shita, and he says, ba'egrov miyuchad shemasur le'eda u'le'edim. What's the difference if it's a stone or if it's a fist? Why does the Torah have to mention a stone or a fist? Because what it's saying is a murder weapon needs to be available for checking. So in the same way that a person rarely loses his fist after sacking someone with it, and therefore we would have to bring it into the court in order for the court to determine whether that kind of fist is sufficiently powerful to actually cause the death of the person that was struck by it, or whether this was a freak accident. What's that?
What's the Eda
is the Beitin. Eneha Eda. So whatever can be brought to the Eda and to the Edim, prat kishiyatzta mitachat yad Edim. But if the Edim bring the Even into court, and they say, this is the murder weapon, then we can paskin, because the court could see the murder weapon and can estimate whether it could have caused death. But if the Edim have lost the murder weapon, then we will never be able to paskin the Chiev of Mitzah. To which Rabbi Akiva responded to Shimon HaTimni, V'chi bifnei beidin hikahu, shiodim kama hikahu, V'amayiko, I don't understand what you're talking about. Did the murder take place in front of Beit Din? So that you're saying, we're going to estimate now the murder weapon. What do you mean, estimate the murder weapon? You don't have enough information to estimate the weapon. How many times did he hit him with the murder weapon? With what force did he hit him with the murder weapon? Where did he hit him with the murder weapon? I mean, do I know if he hit him on his shok, maybe even on the thigh, which would cause no damage, and certainly not death? Oh, Tziperna Shor, did he hit him right in the solar plexus, which could easily have caused him to collapse? Let me ask you. A guy throws somebody off of a roof, pushes him out of a window, and he dies. So now what? Does Beit Din go to the roof, or does the roof come into Beit Din? How do we work that out exactly according to you? Beit Din okin etzel abira, o bira olechet etzel Beit Din. I got a better one for you. Suppose the building collapsed in the interim. So who pays for rebuilding the building so that we can now properly estimate in court whether the building's fall was sufficient to kill the victim? Imnafla, Chozero Boner. What are you talking about? Obviously, we're going to have to rely on the Edim for all of this information. So why can't we rely on the Edim for what the murder weapon was? So we don't require an Amida Bebeit Din. Therefore, why does the Torah mention Egrov and the Even to teach you that Ma'agrov Miuchad, which needs to be Masur La'edim, not La'eda, Avkoshu Masur La'edim, Mashen King, if the witnesses cannot figure out what he had in his hand at the time that he hit him, and his fist alone would be insufficient to kill the guy, So he threw away the murder weapon. So then, where the Edom never got a look at it, so then, maybe this is a freak accident. In any event, katani miyaz. But what I'm interested in this conversation is the phraseology of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says to him, Amala Rabbi Akiva, well, did this happen in front of Beit Din? But what does that tell you? That had it happened in front of Beit Din, then Enochinami, he would have been happy, Rabbi Akiva. And the Beit Din could have paskened based on the fact that they had seen it. So in other words, he would have said, Eidna Sedayan. I thought you said Rabbi Akiva all saying Eidna Sedayan at all. And that none of the members of the court would ever be able to participate in this din. How do you explain that? No, come often, man. Rabbi Akiva is talking to Rabbi Shimon HaTimni. He's telling him, L'shitatcha, that you need to have now an amida of Beit Din. They have to be able to assess it. All he's saying is, did this happen for them to be able to assess it the way you expect it to be assessed? He's not saying they're going to judge it or anything. He's saying, L'shitatcha. I mean, to me, the whole thing is a joke. But Leila Sfirli, obviously, I wouldn't have even discussed the issue. I'm not suggesting that they could actually judge the case. I'm talking about the Amida. This is how the Ravid learns it, because otherwise we'd have to say that Shimon HaTimni holds that Eidna Sedayan, which why should we? Tan Rabban. Shortam Sheimit V'Yizik. So let's see, we have a shortam that causes death and damage. So what happens over there? First, Animato Dine Mamanut. So we first judge him on the case of the Dine Mamanus, because we're going to now be paying up from the shore. And there's nothing to pay up from. But ein danim oto dinei mamonut. Because since he's niskal, and there's no way to sue the owner, because he's a tam, how's he going to pay? But if he's a muat she'emit v'yizik, so then we can first dan dinei mamonut, because the owner's going to pay, not the shore. And then chazim adanim oto dinei nefashot. Then we can go and we can kill the shore. Meanwhile, the owner will be chayef to pay. Kodmu v'danu dinei nefashot. But if we already were done dinei nefashot, we cannot go back. Ein chozrim v'danim oto dinei mamanot. We cannot go back now to get the money for the dinei mamanot. Ask the Gemara, why would that be? V'chi kodmu v'danu dinei nefashot mayav. Who cares? So, we paskin a din of dinei nefashos. Why can't we, before we kill him, give now a separate psak for how much money the owner owns? Who cares? Omar Ravash Kachtin al Rabbanu de Beirav the Yat Viveka Amrei. I found the Rabbanu de Beit HaMidrash. They had come up with an explanation for this. It must be that it's going on leave of the Reb Shimon HaTimni. So Reb Shimon HaTimni said, "My grof miuchat shemasur le'idav le'idim," which means that according to him, we will always have to bring the weapon into court, which means that we're going to have to bring this shor for a court appearance. So I'm a beinu under the beidina. Problem is over here. Once we made the mistake of already paskening the din that this shor is supposed to be stoned, he cannot make a court appearance, because that would be cruel and unusual punishment to allow somebody to sit around in an appeals court for the next 30 years before we kill him. So therefore, we're not ma'ana the din of this poor shor. I mean, this shor is shaking in its boots, you notice. You know? So therefore, what we do is, once we pasken lo mashina leilum, then in the Beidina, we don't drag the shor into court for another examination to see whether he was actually roy to cause it. And we don't cause inui hadin. When I responded to the Rabbanan and the Beit HaMidrash, says Rava, by telling them that I disagree, it's not only because it's Reb Shimon HaTimni. It could work out perfectly well according to Rabbi Akiva. Afilotem Rabbi Akiva. We could be talking about a case. What happened over here is the owner is not present. Since the owner is not present, we have no way to collect from him because we're not Machai of a person, we're not going to be able to take him, paskin a din on him, where he is in presence, or shelo b'fanav. So, what are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense. If he ran away, so then, ki lo danu, we're talking about, we didn't don dinei nefashot. Then it says, we do don dinei mamonos. What does it have to do with it? If he's not here, he's not here. There'd be no way to be done. Echadanin ale dinei mamonot belo balim. How were we done? We can't done anything if the owner ran away. No, it's talking about the Kobo Sa'adi. We accepted the edut in front of him. Ubarach. So if you're telling me he ran away, we don't have anywhere to collect from, so how exactly are we going to collect now? Ah, that's not a problem. The shore is still around, right? So what we do is, miritya. We rent out the shore to do work in a field. We pay back the damages that were done. And now we go ahead and we're done dinei nefashot. Masha'inken, if we had first gone ahead and we donned him, so then we can't be ma'aneh, the din of the shore. So why can't you do the same thing with the tam? You're telling me the whole problem with the tam is that the tam now is only mishtal migufo. But if you're saying that you can pay miritya, we should do the same thing with the tam. First don dinei momenah. Then use the tam for doing the harisha, which pays back now the nizik, and then don the dinei nefashot. What's the problem? So tam nami nidaini dima noma inspiration nishtala miridya, and now go and be don dinei nefashot. Omre mori bereder of kana. You see from here a fascinating halacha. Zotomeret ridya is considered to be aliyah demorah. Ridya is not considered to be mishtala megufa. Ridya is income. Income belongs to the owner. And therefore, there is no way, in the case of the mu'ad, it's not a problem with Rav Mekabel. In the case of the tam, he's not as having anything of him, the owner. So what are we going to do? We'll have to now be paying back from a shor that has no value, because the shor aniska. We can't use his work, because that belongs to the owner. Therefore, there's nothing to do when it comes to the tam. That's what the difference boils down to, and has nothing to do with the need for court appearances. Therefore, works out fine. I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva. V'ibay teima, idi v'idi le'achir takana, v'idlu takana tusha, el'amad yomar li'isha v'lo li'ish by teima, kidir rava, di yomar rava, hegde shchometz v'shichrur, mafki'in midei she'ibud. Le'ma de rava tanoi, lo. Di kula amitlu de rava, v'achal mu'a rabbanu le'shibud et abal. Vibaitem le kuleyama, let lulani tanoi takanatusha, or perhaps it was written before takanatusha. Vacha bikinin pigarot, kikinin aguftamika biflege. Ubeplutidani tanoi, the tanya mocher avdaliacher, upasaki moamanachi shabsheru shoshim yo. Rabbi Meir Omer Rishon, yeshlo bedinyoba yomai vleshu takta, kasava kinin perot, kikinin aguftami. Rabbi Yuda Omer Sheni, yeshlo bedinyoba yomai vleshu kaspo. Kasava kinyan perot lavke kinyan agufdami. Rabbi Yosi yom shneim yeshav din yom yomaim zemin eshu tachtam zemin eshu kaspo misafkele kinyan perot kinyan agufdami yelavke kinyan agufdami v'safkin vashot lakel. Rabbi Elazar omer shneim eno din yom yomaim zelaf yishenot tachtam v'zelaf yishenot kaspo omrava my time with Rabbi Elazar omakro ki kaspohu kaspo hamiyuchad lo k'man oz od yom rabim raish v'shar shemachlu menichse malug. Lo asur v'lo klum, keman, kerabi Elazar. Man tana la'ot, detana rabbonan. Mi shechati evet v'chati ben chorin, v'chein evet sh'shnei shutafim, en yotzim b'roshe avarim, she'enam chuzrim. Omelir mordechai l'rvashi, yachem reb shmei l'rava, rabi Elazar hi. Mi lo amar reb Elazar kasbo miyuchad lo, ofinami avdo miyuchad lo. Hatokea l'chaviro noten lo sela. Rabi Yudom remi shur v'yose aglili, mona. Satron noten lo 200 zuz, leachar yado noten lo 400 zuz. Tzoram beozno, talash besaro, rakak vigio boroko, hevir talito mimenu por arosha isha beshuk, noten lo 400 zuz. Ze haklal, hakol ofi kvodo. Om Rabbi Akiva afilo anim, shebisrael rino tam kino im b'nei chorim shiodu menechseyem, sheim b'nei Avram, Yitzchak ve'Yaakov, umase be'achad shepara arosha isha beshuk. But if they Rabbi Akiva v'chivoli ten lo 400 zuz, amar lo Rabbi, ten li zman. Natan lo zman shamra omedet al petach hatzira, v'shavar et agad b'faneha obo kiyis ha-shemen, giltat rosha v'hayta metapachat u'manachat yada al rosha, hemid ala edi, b'bal lifnei Rabbi Akiva, amar lo lezo, ani no ten 400 zuz, omar le lo amar ta klum. Hachovel ba'atzmo av apishen rashay patur, but none of us acherim shechavlo bo chayavim. Hakotzetziti otav av apishen rashay patur, acherim chayavim. Iboilu. Monatsuritznan o monamedinatznan. Tashmada, hu gave takale lechavre. Ota lekaim de rubiru nesio, amar le ha ana rubiru se aglile, havle monatsura, shmamino monatsurikatznan. Shmamino. What's the meaning of ha ana rubiru se aglile? Minna malchi kamale ha ana de chazitich. For Rabbi Yosi Agli, the Yomer Monatsuri, Zil Avli Monatsuri, is that supposed to mean the Eid Nasid Dayan? V'atanya sanedrin sh'ro'o echad sh'ragat anhefesh. Mik'tatan na'asu edim, mik'tatan na'asu dayanim, divir Rabbi Tarfa. Rabbi Akiva amir, kulam edim eim, vein eid na'asu dayan in this case at all. Now, even Rabbi Tarfa, na'kan lo'ka amir, Rabbi Tarfa, mik'tatan na'asu edim, mik'tatan na'asu dayanim. But certainly he didn't say like Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya is saying that, well, I saw it and I'll done it. Eidna said dayan literally, loka ama, kitanya yikagon sharo balayla, the love of the mevedina nino. Mashink in our case, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya perhaps saw it right there, was going to done it right there. Viboite mochikamale. Ha'ana the sphere like Rabbi Yehuda glili yama manatsuri. And of course, there's Sa'adi the Mesadiba, because he'll have le manatsuri. So Rabbi Akiva, they ain't eidna said dayan. V'atanya, v'ika ish et re'eu be'evin o'be'egrof, shim natim ne'omer, ma'egrof miuchad shemasu le'edau le'edim, afko shemasu le'edau le'edim. Prat l'kishi yatztam mitachat yad ha'edim, amalu Rabbi Akiva, what, v'chi bifnei bedin iko, shodim kama iko, ama iko, imal shoko, tzipar nafsho, v'yod, areshet achaf et chavero mirosh agag, mirosh abira, umeit. So does the bedin olchin etzel abira, or does the bira come to bedin? V'yod, im naflach, ozero boner, Bona, elamai grof miuchad shumasula idim, afko shumasula idim, prat lekishi atstavim itachad yadosh elamakeh, where the idim never saw the murder weapons over there. Elokinami, it's potter. Maybe some kind of freak accident, they hit him with a sponge. Anyway, kotoni miyad amalo Rabbi Akiva, v'chi bifnei beitini ko, shiadim kama iko, mashma, that if indeed iko bifneiem, that we would have said, eid nasa dayan. No, no, the dvar of the Rabbi Shimon atimni kama, but they lost really. Ton Rabbanu, short time she'emit v'izik, danim ato dinei nefashot, en danim ato dinei mamanut. Muad she'emit v'izik, danim ato dinei mamanut, v'chozrim v'danim ato dinei nefashot. Kadmu v'danu dinei nefashot, en chozrim v'danim ato dinei mamanut. Why not? Kadmu v'danu dinei nefashot, my avi. La'ad v'luni dainin nami mamanut. Omar Rav hashkachtin l'Rabbanu d'vei Rav, Diyat v'vikamri amani Rabbi Shimon atimni diyama ma'agrof miuchat shemasu le'edo le'edim alma binan umtad edavei dina. Since over here we were gomar dina le'ktola so lo mashina le'lum edavei dina v'lo ma'adina le'dine. Whereas I told them, says Rav Aminu Lohana, no, filo teimer Rabbi Akiva hoch ma'eskin and gonshu barach. Barach, ayy barach, kito kilo dinu dina nefashot. So, hechi daininen le'dine mamanot v'lo ba'alim. The Kabbal said you, Barak. So, mecha mishtalem, miridya. If you could be mishtalem, miridya. So, tam nami nidagi and dine momenus bereisha, and let him be mishtalem, miridya, which I assume is migufa of the shore, and then odin nidaneo dine nivashot. Omra mori bereder of kana zotomeret, ridya aliyah demarahu.